We are starting Instagram, so we're just going to have that little intro video going for you, and we'll be right back. Okay, everybody, we are here and we are ready to go. This is Reverend Jody Susan Calhoun and streaming live from Powdered Springs, Georgia. That's right, we moved from Marietta this weekend and my eyes are still open, which is a beautiful thing, and no caffeine. Today we have Lucas Catton on, and he is from Innovia Behavioral Health, and which is out of Marietta, Georgia. And I'm very excited because Innovia is looking at mental health differently. And Lucas has been in the field for more than two decades with facilities and group practices around the country. He has helped establish and grow multiple programs and has served as a consultant and strategic advisor for many others. And his vision is to create affordable, accessible help to assist everyday people lead happier, healthier lives. And he continues to shape the future of mental health through Innovia Behavioral Health. So without ado, let me bring on Lucas. Hi.
Hey, Jody, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, grateful to have you aboard. We just went live here, and when we went live, I learned that Facebook is having technical difficulties. So what I am about to do here is I'm going to share the link from YouTube into our Facebook channels so that people can still find us. Sound good?
Uh-huh.
So let me just do that. And but while I'm sharing with the folks on Facebook so they can still tap into the show, would you share with us what was the precedence for you starting Innovia Behavioral Health and shift, let's say, the mindset, right, of how we approach mental health and maybe the structure and foundation of that?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Good question. So as you mentioned, I've been working in the space for more than two decades. And what I continued to see over time was that there's a huge section of people that are needing some type of help and support, but that aren't what I would call maybe current consumers of behavioral health services. So either they had already sought treatment or help or counseling or therapy and aren't currently using it, or potentially in between sessions, but as an aftercare thing, but also a much larger catchment of people that may not ever go for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want to be diagnosed. Maybe they don't fit a particular diagnosis, or maybe they're getting into a realm of not really sure how and where to get help and support. And so I wanted to develop something that could meet that broader need. Because everybody's needs of support not only change from person to person, but also throughout their lifetime. And that's really what we do at Innovia is be able to offer that support across a really wide variety of topics and to meet those changing needs throughout time as people need it, rather than having to go here for one thing and here for something else, but try to be a centralized location as we grow so that the options continue to grow as well.
So when you say approaching, like you said, a wide variety of topics, what does that actually look like? Like, what kind of topics can people expect to see when they come to Innovia Health? Because I think one of the things that maybe we hear is that there's a lot of group, right, to make it affordable for the masses.
Yeah, everything is group based. There's plenty of places out there where people can do either connect up with your own personal individual coach or therapist or something like that. And we're not trying to replace any of those services. In fact, we complement those services. Mm-hmm. But everything is group based so that people can connect with each other. They realize they're not alone in their struggles or their triumphs, and they can share this. But it's also moderated or hosted by a facilitator. And these groups range from health and wellness related groups, such as the one that you host as well, and traditional mental health and recovery related topics. So substance use, anxiety, depressive mood, things like that, really staying in a subclinical realm, not crossing over the therapy boundary. And also like work and personal relationships, what are parenting and, conflict resolution, anger management, lots of different things that people may experience over different parts of their lives, or know someone in their family or their work environment who could use some help or guidance and support in that way.
So are you targeting mostly individuals? Are we reaching out to corporations? Who are we primarily serving?
Honestly, it's both. So we have ways where people can join individually. So a direct-to-consumer option where people, if you have a particular need in your life, like for example, I hosted one particular group for people going through a divorce for a while, just as a peer support group. Mm-hmm. And so that attracted people who, in this day and age, it's a very common thing. And so people would come in who were just looking for that, but then they would get access to everything else because it's unlimited type of support. But then it's also, on a company basis, being able to supply, help really fill those gaps, hence the title of the show, but help fill the gaps between traditional healthcare coverage and which is really costly for a lot of businesses and a lot of people. Like premiums are really high, services are really high, and it's not that the providers don't deserve those high rates, because I think they do, but at the same time the cost gets out of control for a lot of people, and they can't necessarily keep up with it. And on the flip side of that, you have the very low utilization of a lot of employee assistance programs. Mm-hmm. So you've got an imbalance here, and in between are all these people left without a solution for support in their lives. And that's where we want to help fill those gaps, is provide support for things that aren't necessarily clinical and that you don't have to go to an EAP for.
So they're not clinical, but you don't need EAP. So like, I don't know, navigating, sorry, I had to get a pen. So for those of you, like I said, I just moved to Powdered Springs. You should see the rest of the house. Only you the good part.
There you go.
Well, I can find that pen. So the thing is, there's a huge need mm-hmm. for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is why I joined forces with you. I guess I'm going to tell a part of the story of my story from an employer standpoint. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in 1997, I'm misdiagnosed having bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, where really what I had was toxic overload and a torn rotator cuff. Because, at that time in the 1990s, they had been bringing GMO food into our food supply under the radar. People don't know why they're not feeling good because they've got chemicals in their body and they're unaware of it, like me. Or the chemicals are coming through their water supply or where have you, right? Now, we called a psychologist and a psychiatrist, and really we should have just called poison control, right? So, right, because just being poisoned. And the thing is that I went for 2 decades and they're putting me on all these medications. Now, for me as the individual, probably not a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the employer. The doctors are using me as a test subject. Okay, apparently I agreed to it. And so I'm on all these medications. They start me off with 5. Okay. But at the end of the trail of 2 decades, I'm on 50. Now, when I did the math on that, I am not an affordable employee.
Right.
There's not an employer on the planet, especially these banks, because I was working in banking and finance, and they're all self-insured. I would say most financial institutions are self-insured, right? Because they're going to do the risk analysis, they know. Mm-hmm. I'm not affordable. And even though I'm number one, like I was in financial service sales, you know, investments, things like that. And I did more than my entire team combined, more sales than my entire team combined in 3 states. I'm still not affordable.
Right.
Right. And so you have to, if you're listening to this and you're an employer, okay, you gotta start looking at these alternatives to save money. Right. Yeah. You want to look at, you know, shifting your cafeteria. If you have a cafeteria, just bring in clean food. If you want to give them cheeseburgers and french fries, great. Just make it chemical free. Right. You can get a whole lot more productivity out of it, and their emotional well-being will be different. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different things. And that's why we wanted to stay out of really that clinical space, because you know, there's a time and place for that. And there's so many different options to be able to address some of those things on the front end, from not just a prevention measure. I mean, things get lumped into prevention, but it's just, you know, a way of approaching life. And, you know, that's why, for example, we include not only educational stuff like yours, but also, you know, meditative practices and stretching and yoga and you know, breath work and EFT tapping and so, like so many different things. It's like, how can you address your physical and mental state in a non-clinical or subclinical way, and also in a relationship matter? So if you're addressing stress in different points or different parts of stress in your life, and you're helping to reduce that or improve your ability to deal with that stress, then your overall health improves dramatically as well. So it's like a multifaceted approach of helping to reduce those long-term effects of stress and overtoxicity in a different way, you know?
Right. And EFT and tapping, that's amazing, by the way. That's really powerful work, and anybody can do it once they learn how, right? Mm-hmm. Once they're taught. And that also goes with like your negotiation or, you know, relationship building courses and so forth. And I don't have the exact titles, but once you learn a new skill set on how to communicate effectively, then you can model a new behavior.
Right.
And so these groups that you're offering are key to the success, not only of the individual, which is your baseline, but to the growth of the company.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a presentation that talks about how when you're addressing these unmet needs, or at least a good portion of these unmet and often unseen needs for your employers and their family members. You know, like we have groups for teens as well, like 13 to 17, but also spouses and significant others and things like that as well. When you're addressing some of these other things that people are walking into work, bringing these that are, you know, in the front of their minds, walking in, they're being less productive, they're more accident prone. If they're not sleeping well, you know, there's all these different things that are not only a drag on your system from the costs standpoint, like you mentioned, and potential healthcare costs and related expenses, but also lost productivity, lost sales. It's a compounding thing. And so when you can not only offer that, but then help create customized solutions for a workforce to make them not only feel better when they're at work, but even at home, then they're showing up better. They're having a better, more positive impact in their families, in their other communities, and of course at work, which makes the work team more successful.
Right, because, you know, they would say happy wife, happy life. But I mean, it's basically, you know, just plug in, you know, a different rhyme, which I don't have right now. But, but basically, if we can help people navigate the terrain, and, you know, as you know, I was disabled for 4 years. So the during those 4 years, that was a great time for me to learn everything I learned so then I can now pass this on to others. And I know, and I know you do too, that when you're working, you come home, you eat dinner, you, well, I don't do this anymore, but you plop yourself on the couch and watch TV, and then you go to bed and rinse and repeat. And I, you know, if we can find time within that 9 to 5, right, over the lunch hour, brown bag it, right, and give them little nuggets of, and so maybe they don't do a rinse and repeat. Perhaps we try something different. Maybe instead of having dinner, you go for that walk with the spouse or the partner, right?
Yeah.
You know, look at, you know, understanding where you can find food that is chemical free and affordable. Personally, I love working with my farmers, the local farmers. We have a great farmers market in Marietta, Georgia, don't we? Have you been there? Or?
It's been a while, but yes. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, it's been a while for me too. I now my farmers deliver direct to me.
Nice.
But yeah. So so if we have listeners on different platforms, and so if anybody has questions for Lucas about you know, what it looks like with, you know, Innovia Behavioral Health, and I'm just gonna share the screen here. So you can kind of get an idea of what this is all about. So they have, you know, great groups, opportunity to learn, connect, and interact with other people, resource library, and support services. And so it looks like you actually, you were in Marietta. Did you just move locations, looks like, to Atlanta?
Well, we went back to fully virtual is what happened. So we, you know, when the idea for this first came about, and we had envisioned a more localized team and offering in-person services as well, where we continued to get the most traction was out of state. And so, for example, we have some companies and organizations that we're working with, like out of Philadelphia, another one coming out of Iowa, and even we have facilitators all over the world and members all over the world as well. And with everything being available virtually, we just went back to a fully virtual organization because the majority of the people who work with us and are members of our platform are outside of the state.
Interesting. You know, and it's not completely surprising.
Right.
When I first started, you know, so, you know, I teach, as you know, about living toxic free. I'm also now board certified integrative association of integrated psychology as a neurolinguistic programming. So helping people modify their behaviors. And we can do it in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, using an approach that is somewhat similar to tapping. Mm-hmm. And, but the thing is that, and I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, goodness gracious me. Oh, when I first started teaching people or serving people, the irony is it came from other countries.
Yeah.
And so I was working virtually from the get-go. A lot of customers from Italy and France. In Dubai, go figure.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's, it's like we have, you know, we have a whole platform in Spanish as well. So our Spanish facilitators are located in Spain and Central America and South America, and our members as well. So it's like there's that whole section, that entire piece of our organization that is never going to come to our office. So we just went back and said, you know, it makes the most sense to stay a fully virtual organization and be able to cater to the needs where we're brought, rather than trying to bring needs into us physically.
Right. So when it's difficult to do, this is more of a spiritual approach, but I have found that when a person is struggling to connect, like, how do I say this? If you're struggling to get something to go, the universe is not supporting it. Right. But if you're trying to execute on something and it executes with ease and grace, the universe is supporting it. And so we have to look at those signals as another way. Hey, maybe we're trying to put a round peg in a square hole,
right?
Or a square. Yeah. And so pause and take a look. So what is the thing that really lights you up about what you're doing now today with, and what are some great stories you want, success stories you want to share with us about what you're doing today?
Good question. Let's see. You know, one of the things, that I'll start with the second half first. There's actually one of our members who had written in and had shared that she was, and she shared this publicly, so it was okay for me to share this too, but that she had joined to be able to address a relationship with her mother at the time. And so she wanted to go to our conflict resolution group. And so that's where she went, and that's where she was gaining the most traction for herself, that this the facilitator that she resonated with. And as she continued to go, she wound up feeling better in other areas of her life that she didn't expect. And so she had asked if she could meet with me to share some of these things. And little did I know, she wound up sharing that she had, for example, like an eating disorder. And that she had, for the first time in, I think, more than a decade, weighed more than 100 pounds again, because she was caring for herself enough to take care of herself better. To nourish her body, and that the difficulties she was experiencing in her family life, her relationships, was having such a negative impact on her physical life and her mental health, that by helping her to address one part of it, unlock these other parts of her again, and that she is now excited. She, like in her story, she shared that she no longer goes to bed crying at night, but is excited for the day and to continue learning and doing all these things that she now looks forward to living. And so some of those things she had not disclosed because it's not necessary to do so, of course, with us. We're not taking personal health information like that. And she was like, yeah, I was actually struggling more than I let on. And I can't believe that I got this much out of a quote unquote support group that had completely changed her life.
So how does a support group, when you just, like, some people have never been in a support group, what are the dynamics?
It depends on the type of group. That's a great question. So, you know, we have educational related groups that are much more presentation of information, and then you open up for questions and answers type thing. We have experiential type groups where you're doing something throughout, such as a yoga or stretching or something like that as well. And we have a more typical, like, therapeutic support, where you have equal participation for the most part amongst the members that are there that day.
Oh, excuse me. Bless you. Thank you.
And so most of the groups are like that, where depending on who shows up at that time and what are some of the things they're looking to gain advice with or for, or connect with other people with, or potentially share and look for some solutions, then they have an opportunity to do so. And so it's about making a safe, connected, shared space for people to realize that they're not alone, that there is something that they can do to change that, and that there's more than just what I'm stuck with right now. There's something to be able to move forward in life, and that this space is a space for them to be able to come back to over and over again as they continue to make that improvement.
So that's awesome, because what I'm hearing is one of the most important things that people are not alone.
Right.
So if you are feeling something, there's a hot chance someone else is too.
Yeah.
You get into this group and you find community about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know you don't want to be focusing on the issue. You want to be focusing on the solution.
Right.
But I will say it's very important to feel your feelings, because to me, a few weeks ago, just prior to the move, I did a podcast on being seen, but not heard. And it's amazing the variations of issues about being seen and not heard that I didn't even think of, but Dr. J.R. Heise did. I'm like, why you're doing the show, right? So, yeah. But it has people feeling alone. And we really don't want people to feel alone. We want to create community. And I love being in person, and it's just not possible for some people. Mm-hmm. And so it's wonderful to have people connect in the way that serves them. And, if you have a phone or a computer, right, now we can connect people to you. We can connect people to each other around the world.
Yeah.
Which is really powerful. The other thing you said was, change. So you can change it, right? And so I was disabled until the beginning of 2017. And I go back to work and I find myself in a situation, not necessarily at work, but in my living environment, that made me feel like I didn't have a choice. My doctor, who endorses all my programs now, Dr. Michelle Kukla of Healthy Living Counseling Center in Palatine, Illinois, she endorses all my programs. Of course, they're based on what she taught me. So there you go. But, and I learned from more than just her. The one thing that she said to me, so I would like for people to have this as a takeaway. Whenever you have an issue, as awful as it may seem, as pressing as it may seem, if you just give it time, sleep on it overnight, the energy around that issue may dissipate, will likely dissipate, and you'll be able to see more clearly within a few hours. And I think that oftentimes people feel that they have to make a decision about something right away. And I'm never a right away person. I'm a let me think about it person.
Me too.
Yeah. Because time heals, time tells everything. So if at time you can find the solution or the change, right? And you've got a team, which I don't think I've shown the team, but let me do that. The team of practitioners are amazing. So let's go there. So of course we have you. But we have people, looks like you Bernard Scheiber from Spain. But you have a huge team here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you have the diversity, right, to help people get to where they need to go. Because if one person doesn't work, doesn't resonate with you,
mm-hmm.
somebody will. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the best things about what it is that we're doing and as we continue to grow is that we have this amazing network effect, in that the more members we have, the more groups we offer, and, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So the more groups that we offer, the wider amount of help is available, because members have unlimited access to anything that's applicable to them in their lives at that time. If that's an applicable topic and group for that person, then they're welcome to join. And those needs can change over time. So as we continue to grow and we have more offerings, more facilitators, more topics, all that kind of stuff, then the amount of help that's available continues to increase as well. And the variety, and there's things that, you know, we may not even be able to accurately predict right now, as far as like what somebody's needs might be a year from now. And I wouldn't know what I might need a year from now, but that's part of why what we're doing is to be able to continue to provide for those needs. And what does that look like? So if we contract with an organization, for example, like an employer, and they go, hey, we've got a really higher need or incidence for dealing with, let's say, whatever, dealing with a teenager on how to talk to them about whatever, a topic, let's say. We can actually create a group for those adults to help them talk with their teenagers about a particular topic. It can be that specific, based on the needs of the people we're working with. And that may not be a great example, but that's...
Well, I think it's a great example, because oftentimes, in Marietta, about, I want to say, almost 8 months ago, there was a child who was killed at the school. And I think it was a car accident. Hmm. And so, obviously unexpected. And so something like that, you now have a bunch of parents who need to be able to understand how to speak to their child about death and dying. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would say that there are a variety of ways to look at death and dying. So you would probably need more than one solution for that. Right.
Yeah.
Because they may want somebody from the Jewish community who has a very different way, viewpoint of death and dying versus Catholicism versus Christianity versus my spirituality, which some people may never get. So that's okay, you know? And so the point is that there's something for everybody, yeah. You know? And so when you have these situations, that happened in Columbine, right? So I think that's definitely a real situation where you're going to have events at schools, and those kids are going to need very specific help, and they're going to need variations of it.
And the adults as well. Absolutely. And that's, mm-hmm. yeah. So like we have, and that's a great example too, of how, so for example, we have a grief and loss group right now. That's just general dealing with grief and supporting mm-hmm. each other. But that those scenarios and situations can break down and be very specific. So over time, that would look like grief and loss over a particular scenario, like for a child, for example, or for a sibling, or for a parent or grandparent, or different things that people might go, that we can then break down into very specific categories. The more members we have, then the more detailed it gets, if that makes sense.
Completely. I mean, so, yeah, completely. And then the other thing that you said that was, I thought, really important when you were sharing about the programs is consistency, mm-hmm. right? Oftentimes people overlook the importance of consistency. But when you have consistency of behavior, even if you don't really know what you're getting at the beginning of a class, mm-hmm. or a group, showing up consistently to hear what you may not even fully understand at that point in time, But having that consistent behavior, the behavior alone of showing up is a gift, right? Yeah. Like having that behavior of showing up. Some people don't know how to show up to stuff, right?
Right.
And then eventually over time, even if you don't understand something on the first group session, if you give it the consistency it deserves and the input it deserves, you will get something out of this. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's, you know, if we could take, sometimes I say this to people, if we take the amount of time that we spend, we as a collective, we obviously, on social media, let's say, mm-hmm. doom scrolling or even on YouTube or even watching, even if it's generally even good pre-recorded content, but if we can have that live interaction and take 1 hour per week and have that as a starting point and say, no, I'm going to take 1 hour of my time and find something that I'm going to plug into that's going to be enhancing, not taking away from. And it's a healthy use of technology at that point of how am I improving my life? How am I connecting with others? How am I supporting myself and my needs as well? And it can usually be taken from the television or from other social media platforms. If you can redirect 1 hour, that I know that there's a marked difference in the way you feel, because I not only experienced it myself when I started doing this, but have lots of other people that are members who come back and go, yeah, like this is right. Like I couldn't, you know, I miss missing the group. Like I have one of our very first member who still comes to one of my groups almost every mm-hmm. single week, even logged in from another country twice on traveling around the world, from another, once from Africa and once from Japan, like because she didn't want to miss the group activity and the connection and catching up with people and like all that kind of stuff, that continuity. That's a powerful indicator of how much impact you can have and how much I then experience as well as a facilitator, knowing that, yeah, we built this little community and it continues on and we have impact with each other. And when you're showing up as a participant, you also have that ability. It's not just the facilitator, like this, like you're giving and receiving at that point.
Right. And so I think that, well, encourages me to share this, that a lot of times when people come to groups, and I don't mean all the time, but you know, they are a spectator, right? And as you know, I'm publishing a book. It's at the editor. And one of the things that we're doing in the book is at the end of every page, there's either an affirmation or a quote that is inspiring. And so I was asked, she said, one of the people said to me, well, I kind of feel like you should have a quote at the very beginning of the book. I said, well, great. I said, then it's life is not a dress rehearsal, because it's been my quote since I was 10 years old, that life is not a dress rehearsal. It's not a spectator sport, people. This is about engagement. And so when you go to any group, whether it's at Innovia Behavioral Health or anywhere else, engage, right? Be connected. Because when you share what's going on for you, mm-hmm. you are contributing to the well-being of others.
Yes.
Right. And so it's as important for you to share as it is for you to be a good listener, right? And hear. When people share, if you choose to share, like I shared my story about, you know, being disabled and the diagnoses and stuff. And I share it not because like I have joy telling people about this every day. That's why I just wrote the book, because it's like, yeah, just read it. Okay. You know, because I think it's so important that people understand, first of all, what I have to say is so overwhelming. It needs to be in a book. Okay. Because there's so much content. Secondly, if people understood, first of all, that their addictions are not their fault, that their eating disorders are not their fault, that their anxiety is not their fault. None of it is your fault. You know, the food and water supply has toxins in it, and it's causing you to feel a way that's not in alignment with, you know, being in harmony with your environment. And that includes the electromagnetic frequencies. So when you can stop making yourself wrong for all these things that are happening in your world, then you can put your big boy pants on or big girl pants on like I had to, right? And take control of your health and know that it happened to other people. And there are tons of solutions out there, like tons of solutions. I have a set of solutions that gets people to a certain level. After they're done with me, they go to someone else. Because I, you know, I kind of stay in my lane, right? Which is I teach people how to live it a life toxic free. Now I know in the addiction community, a lot of people think, about drugs and alcohol. And in that community, that's a different toxic free, but I want to talk about that community because it's huge,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The reason I talked about this at the Georgia Addiction Counseling Association when I was presenting at the fall conference. So the reason so many people have addictions is that when they are, in vitro, right? When they've been conceived, mom and dad have been, and Fagla, my bird wants to contribute. So we'll hear her in a minute. The mom and dad are eating the foods that we all ate, right? Not knowing that they had chemicals in them that were addictive, okay? Mm-hmm. Or in some way compromising your nervous system. And so then the child is born with like a compromised situation. Now, if the mom or dad was taking cocaine or they were an alcoholic or something like that, in a split second, the medical community would say, we have to detox that child, right? If it was born to somebody who had an addiction. Mm-hmm. But no one really was thinking about the fact that the food supply is toxic. So we have to detox that child too, right? Causing anxiety, right? And these disharmonious experiences, keeping an unbalanced. And there are your kids. Hi. So come join. Hello. So the point is that if we... my husband, he says, we need to have engaged participants, not just observe. Thank you, Andrew. Yes. Awesome. Yes. So the point is that if we started really looking at things and everybody bought into it at the conference, because it makes logical sense. One toxin, a toxin is a toxin, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so one is just blatantly smack dab in your face, obvious, right. Which is alcohol and drugs. The other one's under the radar, so we're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
And yeah. So the point is that if we can start looking at how the things in our life impact our emotional well-being, you know, like we were saying earlier, maybe don't go for sitting at the front of the TV, which is blue light. It limits your ability to sleep well. Maybe go for a walk. Maybe if you're not a big walker, sit outside on the grass or, you know, or on a bench, you know, and talk with your partner or your children or whoever you live with. If you don't live with somebody, go make friends or join the group.
Yeah, exactly. So. And those influences come in so many different ways too. Like the messages, the signals that we receive, not only from like signals in terms of devices and things like that, which I don't know much of anything about, although I know you do, but also the messages and the signals that we receive from media, from other people who might be giving us toxic messages or communications about ourselves that make us feel not happy or not like we're doing well in life and that kind of thing. So how do we identify those other types of toxins that we are consuming or that are a part of our influences into being able to filter that out and have much more positive ones, you know?
So I agree completely. So we have to consider about how we act and what we say before we choose to move forward with an action and what signal we're sending.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to do that, we also have to look at the signals that are being sent to us through the media.
Yes.
And where we're learning that behavior, the program belief system,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we don't even have to talk about EMF because that's a whole nother topic.
Right.
But the signals that you're getting or the messages or the programming, like back in the day, so I'm 60, going to be 61 this year. And we didn't have advertising for drugs on TV, right?
Right.
And I remember when that first started happening, and I scratched my head and I thought, how is that okay? Right? Now, interestingly enough, I won't say what company it was, okay? There's a company, and they are not doctors, and they're sending out text messages to schedule for some carrot juice, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those of you who don't know what carrot juice is, you can kind of read between the lines, okay? Now, they're not doctors. So there's no talk about a diagnosis. There's no talk about what you actually may or may not need, what your blood type, if there's an assessment, nothing. But let's schedule you for this thing, this carrot juice, that you may or may not need. And so why are we in a situation today, in a place where anybody can offer anybody a drug, but we're censored if we offer you the benefit of cilantro, right?
Right. Yeah, you got to couch the language very carefully, right?
Well, cilantro will actually help you with removing heavy metals, right? Chelation from your body. But if we say that and start promoting that, they say, well, do you have proof? Right. Well, okay, it works. And honestly, because people asked that question for so many years, there is now proof on PubMed studies, right? There's proof about what lavender does for sleep and anxiety. There's proof of what cilantro does for taking heavy metals out of the body. There's proof for what frankincense does for putting the brain in a theta state. Proof that plants are about as powerful as they get when it comes to self-healing and helping you with your own ability to self-heal, mm-hmm. right? Because the truth of the matter is, and you know, I'm an ordained minister, and I'm not a really big Bible bumper, quite frankly, even though, and I want to just say this, because I'm just called to do so. Jesus came here and he had his 12 disciples and they went around and they healed people. And his message wasn't that His message wasn't build churches and take money. His message was that you are a divine child of God and that you can self-heal. And so it's interesting. I was looking when I did the post for Facebook before we started because Facebook wasn't live, right? Because Facebook wasn't working. We have four other platforms. But I changed my profile picture about a week ago. Because I was just really called to do so. And instead of having my image as the being shown on Facebook, I'm going to show you what I decided to do instead. And this is my profile picture. Pray not until God hears you, but until you listen to God. Because people, you have the divine right to hear him. And that's whether it's Jesus or just God or like, you know, like I don't tell people how or who they're supposed to pray to. That's your right to also choose, right? Mm-hmm. I believe Jesus came here in many different forms. And but the point is that you have a right. You have a divine right to clean water, clean food, clean air, and to be able to have harmony with others, right? And to have harmony with others, you can have love and happiness and joy. And really what Lucas is doing here today is giving you an easy path to that, right? It's affordable. It's what, $99 a month?
Yeah, that's the most anybody would ever pay. For example, if you use Rev20, you can get 20% off. You know, that's like the easiest thing. And if you happen to have a teenager, then your teenager would get a free account with that as well. And when we contract with employers and organizations and stuff, there's massive bulk discounts. But I want to use your point to kind of jump off into two other things too, if I can.
Please.
One of them is with regard to the clinical versus subclinical level. When you're talking about studies and research and things like that, there's also a lot of research of talking about support and peer support and educational information, things like that. So the type of support that we provide and having a clinical result. That it is, especially when you're engaged in more of it for longer periods of time, that we're going to show, like with one of our partners, for example, we're going to be able to document how better engagement through more types of support over longer periods of time have significant improvement on overall health and well-being, and markedly so, to the point where it's going to reduce the costs in these other areas of life in a clinical setting. So by using subclinical help, you can wind up having a clinical effect. And I'm saying that now as a generality based on third party information, but I'm saying that's where we're also going as an organization to be able to prove and document that with research partners' help and things like that. And also your point on being able to have a result based on self-healing or the placebo effect in itself. Like when people believe something well enough, just like if you believe you can or you can't, you know, the old saying, whether you believe you can or can't, you're right either way. So the same thing can be such for lots of different things in life and overall health and well-being, that if we believe that we are healthy, and then we can show up healthy. And that can be expressed in many different ways as well.
So spot on, the placebo effect, right? So the placebo effect is another way of saying, like you said, what you believe, but it's also dealing with what I work with a lot, which is the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So if our subconscious mind program from like when we were kids that we need a pill for every ill, then our belief system is that's what heals us.
Right.
And when you look at studies, certain studies, and I don't know which ones they are right now, it doesn't really matter. There's enough of them out there, people, mm-hmm. where you have the placebo effect. And I'm like, oh, it's just actually more effective. Well, because people who believe that they're going to get better just do. And if you're happy, you get better. And I know a lot of people over my lifetime who were smoking cigarettes, and I'm not advocating for this, okay, but smoking cigarettes and drinking, and not like heavily, but whatever, and eating crappy food. but they had a lot of love and they had a lot of joy. And they didn't really get sick because they were focused on the love and the happiness and joy. And so they weren't bringing into their field all the toxic crap. Now, my body doesn't tolerate it.
Yeah, some people need to, take a look at that.
Yeah, but the point is that, but there's a lot of people who've lived long lives eating crappy stuff because they were just so happy.
Yeah.
So find your happy.
Right.
And if you're not finding your happy and you're not finding your joy and you're not finding your harmony and your peace, you know, and you're an individual, you know, come see one of the group. Come to my group. It's Rise. What did I change the name to? It was Let Go and Rise Up.
Let go and rise up.
And we teach you about, and yes, you can use the code REV20. So I'll just put that REV20 to get your discount. And you go to the website, which we've already posted, but here you go. Right. And let go and rise up, man. I mean, I teach you how to let go of old behavior so you can be the best version of who you are. And that could be water filters. It could be food. It could be behaviors. It allows you, and they're all toxic, right? All because if we're holding on to something that's not serving us, it's toxic, right? Mm-hmm. And so it fits into that of a toxicity, because if you have ever visited a chiropractor, you know, they always talk about the three T's: toxic thoughts, traumas, and and toxins, right? And toxins, right? So thoughts, traumas, and toxins, those are your three T's. And so you know, really, I think we're in a stage of life where we can do just about anything, right? Because we've all been through the last few years together. If you're living and listening right now, old enough to hear this, right? So you've been through a lot. So if you survived the last, you know, 4 years, let me tell you something, there's not a whole lot you can't do.
Right.
So let's pick up the dice and roll and see what you come up with. Try something different. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the future of healthcare as a whole is a consumer-based, choice-based system. Rather than being told, this is what we must believe, this is what we must do, this is what everybody must have, that we're shifting into this new era of, well, I want to put together my personal health plan. What helps me live a better, happier, healthier life? Not only taking those messages, only taking those whatever that looks like, right? But being able to second guess or get second, third opinions and questions and other options and be able to do that, be able to put together really a personalized health plan for yourself and for your loved ones. And what is it that's going to help propel you into a better future? And how does that look? And in examining, like, are some of the things I'm doing now, are they preventing me from going forward? Like you said, let go of those things, but identifying those things. In order to move forward or in order to rise up. And I think really that's where a general collective consciousness is heading into that. I'm going to take agency over my life again and not just be pushed into one direction or another as an unthinking collective.
Yep. And I'm typing something in for you. All right. Here we go. There you go. Take control of your health. It's your right to do so, right?
Yeah.
And I will say this. This happens in not only the Western community, but also the Eastern, you know, like the more holistic community as well, which I am in that one. But I want to make sure if we could just have because I know we're at our time limit, but trauma is huge. And, you know, I'm not a trauma expert. I would say I'm informed. Like, I'm not clinical, right? Although I have a great way of helping people to release traumas. But trauma is related to weight gain, food sensitivities, and a host of other things. I'm getting balloons. Woohoo! So why am I bringing this up? My body was under trauma last year, and I was exposed to 15 smart meters at the same time, equivalent to almost 2,250 cell phones. So I nearly died. And I had 4 brain tumors, 2 tumors in my feet, failing liver, failing kidneys, weak heart, clogged spleen, and reversed a good chunk of it in 12 days. And the doctor looked at me and was surprised because he said, quite frankly, I didn't think you would make it. Wow. And so so the thing is, but I want people to understand this. So one of my really good friends, love him, you know, he's like a brother, and he's a doctor. And he said, Jody, I think you need to follow this diet to lose the weight. Because I gained 50 pounds, by the way, out of that exposure to that electromagnetic frequencies. Wow. And so as soon as I moved homes and I'm in a more frequency healthy home, I dropped 25 pounds almost immediately, like in a couple months, like a month, not even a couple, month and a half. And then I held on to the rest of the 25 pounds and I started finally losing it. Why did my body hold on to it? Trauma. Okay. So what I think is important for people to understand is the impact of energy, which is what trauma is, and another form of energy can have on your physical body, not only your emotional body, but your physical body.
Right.
And so when I started to release the trauma that I had relative to these situations that happened to me in those 12 months, the weight started coming off. Okay. And so what I want to tell you is that you are with Lucas and his team. You have a huge group of people that are thinking outside the box about how you can approach health. Okay. And so, and we're, I know he's not saying this and I'm not saying it either. I had the best psychologist on the planet. I love my psychologist. And it just means there's more. There's more that you can do. Yeah. And there's like, and I still see a psychologist because, like, you know, I like asking my specific questions. What do you think about that? Right. And so we're not saying that don't see a psychologist. We're saying no, yes, and.
Yes.
Two, right?
Exactly. It's not an either or. It's
right.
Not zero sum. Yeah.
Right. All day long. So see your psychologist, come to these groups, go for your walk, clean up your water, have at it, and look at life differently so you can have different. The only time, and Fagel has something she needs to say. So let me just hear what she has to say real quick. So for those who don't know, I'm also an animal communicator, medical intuitive. Let me just hear real quick. What is she saying? Oh, of course she is. She says, start with heart. She says, start with your heart. Love people. Send them your heart. Send them your love. She says, every time you start with heart and send your love, she goes, it will help everyone heal. Mm. And she's been saying, start with heart for you. And it really took me a longer time to fully understand what she's saying, but that is another show where I can go a deeper dive of what start with heart really means. But so maybe another day. If you've got questions, let me just do this and you can call me for that. And Lucas, I have posted in your how to get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to put it in the private chat, and I can scroll this real quick. So if people want to work, the best way for people to reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach me directly at this email address. If you have any questions, and, otherwise, you have the website as well.
Mm-hmm. And so everybody that, and I'm putting it up there, you want to tell people what that email address is, and I'll also post it.
Yes, it's simply info@innoviabh.com. It's innoviabh.com. That goes directly to me. So I would answer that. you know, and happy to help answer any kind of questions, how we can help serve you or serve the people that you serve. That's really why we're here. That's what we're doing, what we're doing. We want to help everyday people lead happier, healthier lives. And we're on a mission to do that with this millions of people around the world.
Yeah, health has no boundaries, right?
Exactly.
Health has no boundaries. So thank you so very much for spending time with us today. And I guess we even went over, but that's okay. And please reach out, you know, to Lucas, info@innoviabh.com. That's Innovia Behavioral Health, of course. And then, you know, I think we have it up here, or just go to site. Okay. So, next week we have on, Dr. Thomas Graham. He's a chiropractor. And honestly, we had a meeting today and I forgot what our topic is going to be. It's shifting mindset. So I don't know the exact title, but we're talking about shifting mindset to reclaim your health. And then the week after that, we have Michelle Froge on, and Michelle Froge will, we are talking about how behaviors never lie and what signal are you sending? So we're really doing a dive in, how can you better understand who you are? All right. So any last words or?
Just thank you. I appreciate you having this forum, an opportunity, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
You're welcome. And this will be available on Podbean as well as every podcast channel available. So Spotify, Audible, Amazon, I don't know all of them, Samsung. If you've got a podcast channel that you listen to, you can look for Self-Care, and this will be played on that channel as well. So, and I'll send you those links, Lucas.
Awesome.
All right. All right. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. You too.
All right. So end that and bye-bye.
All right.